This is an interview with Mrs. J. M. Halloran for the Youngstown State University Erskine High School project by Donna DeBlasio at Mrs. Halloran's home on November the 5th, 1974 at 2 o'clock p.m. Mrs. Halloran, why did you choose to go to Erskine Academy?
Well, I had been to Immaculate when I was in grade school. And I guess it was just the thing to do in those days. There was no question about going to a Catholic high school. It was a must.
Did your parents decide that you should go there?
My parents decided that.
What did you think of the other high schools in the area?
Well, truthfully, I really didn't know too much about them. I don't really think you think too much about the high schools when you're 13 or 14 years old.
Well, this was the Depression. Was your family's social and economic position higher for you?
Yes, my father always had a fairly good job. He worked in the steel mills. But, of course, in those days, everybody was a little strapped for me, but we managed.
How exclusive was the high school? Were there very open social positions?
We had some girls who were very wealthy, but most were medium class.
What did you think about the teachers and their methods?
Well, in those days, we thought the teachers were wonderful. Of course, they were very strict. And you didn't share responsibilities. You either learned or else. But if you failed any courses, they'd be sure you took them over. And the best possible help was given to all the students. I remember in particular one algebra class when I was a freshman. And evidently, the teacher wasn't getting it across to the students because only two or three passed out of the class. So the next year the principal taught. And by the end of that term, everybody knew it.
Well, what kind of methods did they use in teaching, lecture or teaching discussions?
We had discussions, but mostly just work.
What was the discipline like? Was it strict or?
Yes, a little strict. I'd say we had more freedom than we do right now, though. He's my husband.
Could you tell me, what was a typical day like?
Well, as I said, we had a lot of time, and we had a few students. So we had hourly classes and quite long lunch hours. I think our class worked for an hour. We had a couple of study halls in between. And at lunchtime, I think we had about an hour and a half because we didn't have the crowds that we have now. Everybody ate lunch at one time. As a matter of fact, we had lots of time that we could even go downtown and back at lunchtime.
How long did the day usually last? Same as?
I think we were finished around 3 o'clock. Started at 9 in the morning and finished at 3.
Was the school very large at the time?
No. We have had the same school as they have now, the old school, but the enrollment was probably only about 200, 250. It seemed as though we started out with a large class and we started out with 90 freshmen and ended up with 26 seniors. So they just drop out and go to other schools. I suppose it was right then because of the Depression.
Were there many cliques? And
yes, quite a few. But I'd say in each class there were maybe 6 or 8 who stuck together. The rest of the girls were all as one family, just a few who thought they were a little better than the rest.
Was it mostly like socially based or economic?
I think social. They thought they were real something, so they just stuck together.
Have you noted, what changes have you noted from Erskine now? And then your time, and Erskine in the 30s when you went.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I haven't been up there for a long, long time, but I think the thing that really scared me the one time I did go, which was about 10 years ago, at the change of the classes, everybody came flying down those stairways and in the halls, and you took your life in your hands. So.
Well, do you think that the students were well prepared for university training?
Oh, I think they are well prepared.
That's what the school is mostly geared to.
Right.
Was there, what was like the percentage between A's and F's approximately?
Well, I'd say 5% were A's and 5% were F's, just like it is now. Of course, they didn't grade on the curve at all then. You got what you deserved. But a few of the teachers, 98 was a perfect score. They never give 100, just 98. But they figured that was a perfect score as far as grading was concerned.
Would you think it was a small school, so were newcomers, were they resented or were they...
No, they were very well accepted. We didn't have too many that who would come in during the middle of the year, just at the, like freshmen, you know. But when we were seniors, I can remember the first class, the boys, and we were very friendly with the freshmen just as much as with the seniors.
When the boys came in, was it a large class of boys or small?
There were quite a few boys. I'd say half the class was boys.
What did you think of boys being admitted?
Well, we would have been a lot happier if they were a little older. See, we were ready to graduate. We were freshmen. But we were pleased with them.
What kind of extracurricular activities were there? You know, clubs, social functions?
We all had our own little clubs. But at the school, they had parties for all holidays and car parties and things, mostly for the public. We didn't have too many social functions at the school.
Do you have any clubs like, you know, how they have FTA
no.
and things like
no.
that?
No. Those days they had nothing, just your own little social clubs.
What was the image of the school really, was it very important?
Oh, to us it was important. We thought because we went to Earthville, we were wonderful. Of course, we always thought it was the best school in the town, but maybe that was just our own opinion. We did have quite nice athletic associations, and we had meetings once a week for those. We had girls' basketball team in those days. They went out of town and played basketball, and they had teams from out of town that came to visit here. It was quite nice. We had scholarship contests that we went to Penn State. And I think they came in first place in the state when I was there.
Were you involved in it?
I was. I was in the Kent State Scholarship. But not basketball. That I didn't care much for. But I had a lot of fun up there.
Did they have a dress code back then? Or did you have to wear a uniform?
Oh, we wore uniforms after the first year. The first year we wore our own clothes. But after that, the school had a uniform, and that was a must. The only reason that she didn't wear a uniform was if it was in the dry cleaners, but other than that, she wore a uniform.
What did they look like?
We had navy blue uniforms, long sleeves, white cotton cuffs, and just little buttons down the front. Very plain. And then they had summer ones. They had pastel color, made the same.
Did the boys have to wear them?
No. The boys just wore their own clothes. But they were well-dressed. No jeans, no going to school sloppy. Right.
What does the Ursuline Academy mean to you?
Well, over these last few years, as I said, I haven't thought too much about it, but I consider it a good alma mater. And I just love the Ursuline Sisters because I was associated with them a good many years in school, and I went to the teachers' college with a lot of them when I was teaching school, and we became very good friends. Well, as I said, we the whole class would get together, like at gym time, lunchtime. And after we had our lunch, we would all sit around. If it was winter time, we'd go in the gym, we'd play games, and we'd joke and laugh and talk. Then in the summertime, when the spring, when the weather was nice, we'd go outside and take pictures out on the campus. Everybody had a lot of fun. And we associated with all classes, not just your own. All classes mixed. This is off the record. As I said, we used to run the tiny room. We'd have ourselves a ball. We weren't supposed to. That was off limits, but we did.
You weren't allowed off campus at all during
no,
the day?
No, unless you went home for lunch. That's all. Oh, and it was strictly a place that you stayed all day, except the ones who went home for lunch. But I had enough time that I used to come out to the sunside lots of times.
Is that all right? The bus was late.
Those days it was no such thing as driving a car to school. You were lucky to be able to ride the bus.
Did they have organized bus transportation?
We rode the city bus. We had school tickets. You bought the book of tickets, I think, in those days it was $1. You got 30 or 33 tickets. And then you just went to the bus company and bought those. So that's a lot of time, you know. You'd have them half loaded up before you ever got home. Nobody ever had school tickets. But we did ride the city buses. When I was a senior, we had the first prom at Urson High School. It was actually a dinner dance, the class of 1931. And it was held at the school. But the juniors served a very nice dinner, and then, of course, the sister chaperoned the dance. They came right into the auditorium where we had it, but they were there. We were also the first class graduated from the Stamba Auditorium. And it was, of course, as large as that stage is, 26 people rattled around on the stage. But we had the girls' ski club, and they were in the background, and they sang at the graduation. It was beautiful. We were all on stage instead of being down in the body of the auditorium as they are now. And Father Conway was the principal when I was there. He was there for several years. The wonderful priest. Before that, we had sisters, and he was the first priest who was the principal of Ursula.
When the boys started, were the classes co-ed or were they separated?
No, they were co-ed. Well, no, they didn't have any separation at all. And the boys and girls had a band together. Of course, that was starting out like the freshmen, you know, and there were a few sophomores and juniors in it who had been in the band. But their first year, they started to ride out with a football team. And of course, it didn't do too well then, but they had a priest for a coach then. He used to be Pastor St. Stanislaus Church, and he coached them. We had quite nice gym. Of course, we had rather baggy blouses and blouses, you know, long sleeve sailor blouses, which were a pain in the neck. But I guess you get used to things.
What other classes did you take?
Well, I took a academic course. And you mean as far as the studies were concerned?
Yes, what did they offer?
They had a four-year academic course, which was English, history, Latin, algebra, chemistry, biology, all the academic courses. Then they had a two-year commercial course. And I wasn't too familiar with that because it only lasted for 2 years after I was up there, and then they discontinued a two-year course.
And what did they do with it? They make it into a four-year course?
No, they just discontinued it, and then you could take typing shorthand bookkeeping electives along with your regular academics course. Of course, in those days, you weren't limited to just four things. If your grades were high enough, you could take five or six subjects instead of just the regular four. And of course, we always had to take religion. It was a must, but it wasn't a full credit. I think we got half a credit for that. But we did take five or six things. We had quite a large assortment of things. You could have German, French, Spanish. I did take German for 2 years, but they had a beautiful chemistry class with a well-equipped laboratory. Very good teachers.
Were the teachers mostly nuns and priests, too?
We had only one priest, Father Conry, and he did teach religion to the seniors. But the sisters taught all the religion classes.
Were there any lay teachers?
No. Only the gym teachers were lay teachers. No, we had no women teachers or men in those days, all sisters. Which would seem strange to people now, because I think the lay teachers are in the majority.
Who does it?
But all the girls in the senior class put out the yearbook.
Did you have faculty advisors?
We had faculty advisors, but they got all the information, all the ads, and all the articles were put out by the senior girls. Instead of having it done professionally.
Were Were the retreats handled by the school, or were they?
Right by the school. We did have priests come in and give the retreat. I think they lasted for a whole week, just retreat our conferences, and then a little recess, and then more conferences. But they were very enjoyable. At least we got out of school classes for the week.
Was the administration very much involved in the teaching activities of the school? Were they like above the school?
I'd say that they were teachers. And some of the younger ones were very friendly and helpful. And they were involved when we'd have card parties and things. But the older ones were so used to just teaching that they really didn't go in for the extra stuff at all.
Do you think they were very devoted?
Very, very devout teachers. But when their school time was finished, that was it. But then the younger ones who were there, they were the ones who mixed in with the students and gave them a little extra help and stuff. And as I said, we have card parties with the young ones who came all the time to help.
Were they very strict about, you know, cutting classes?
Oh, they never heard of such a thing as cutting classes. You wouldn't dare do that. As a matter of fact, nobody would even think of it. I guess that was before the days of class cutting and stuff. If you didn't want to go to school, you'd stay home. But they called 9 o'clock to find out where you were. It was strict. But we never really did cut too many classes. A few times we'd leave the gym class and maybe go downtown. But if you got caught, you were punished. And of course, in those days, there was no such thing as girl smoking. They just wouldn't put up with that. Of course, a few of them did. They hide the cigarettes in the girl's restroom. But they just would have no part of that because they were older sisters. We had a younger lady who did the cooking in the cafeteria. The food was very inexpensive. Of course, it was poor times, and you could buy, instead of buying your home, you could buy whatever you want. Bring a lunch from home and just buy soup, ice cream, or whatever you wanted. But you got a beautiful bowl of soup for 5 cents. And if you had a whole meal, it would cost you maybe a quarter. Or you could have ice cream or pop, whatever you wanted. But I think that same woman was there all the time I was in high school. Beautiful cook. Of course, I said we only had maybe 100, 125 people in the cafeteria. We had lots of room to rattle around.
How large was the teaching staff?
I'd say there were maybe 20, 25 sisters. They had a librarian, they had the principal who didn't teach. She confined her whole time to being principal. Except on one occasion when a lot of the freshmen flunked the algebra class. And then she took it upon herself to teach, and she was a marvelous teacher. And she explained that algebra to nobody. So they didn't understand.
Was the tuition very high?
No, it was only $50 a year at that time. Then I think they raised it after my second year to about $60, but that was all.
Did you have to buy the books?
We bought our books. And of course you took care of all your own paper and everything extra that you had to buy yourself. But we did pay for all our books. Of course, you could buy secondhand ones here and there, too, from the upperclassmen. They didn't change the books as often as they do now, I don't think.
Did you put on any plays?
Oh, indeed, we did. We almost had a play every year. As a matter of fact, when I was a senior, we had a Shakespearean play, much against the class wishes. But the class senior teacher insisted we have this Victorian play, and even though the people were against it, she sent us to an elocution teacher. Miss Peebles used to teach elocution, and I was in it. I was Queen Catherine, and of course, since we had no boys in the senior class, we had to use the girls to dress up like boys. And I think there were three of us who went down there a couple of days a week. But the play was beautiful, and then we had some dances and things other than that for the other girls. Of course, they gave us the excuse they couldn't afford the costumes. But she picked out the ones she wanted, and we got the costumes regardless. I don't know where she got them, but we got them for a very low rental. I think we only had to pay $5 for them. But it turned out real nice to play. This people's taught elocution. And Mother Paul had made arrangements for us to go down there. There was no charge connected with it at all. But she taught us the parts that we had for the Shakespearean play. We went there 2 or 3 days a week for a couple of weeks until the play was ready. But they were wonderful. If they went after something, they got it. And the people were so gracious about doing them favors. But I had heard that this particular teacher, her father, had a great deal of money. And I guess she was used to having what she wanted. So when she went to Shakespearean play, that's what she had.
Were parents very much involved in school?
Not really. We had no PTA like they have now. If you had to have a parent come up, you must have done something terrible, because it was an unheard of thing for a parent to be around there. I don't think my parents ever were around, except to come to play. Or at graduation time, they came to the back of our graduation. But I don't think any other time in my 4 years they were out there.
How long was the building open?
I think it was open 4 or 5 years before I went there. Because I kept going up there to senior plays when I was still in grade school. I was still in grade school. But they still use the academy for the grade school classes, and the little ones used to come over once in a while, eat their lunch over in the high school. Then I think after we left there, they discontinued those and used that for an art building over there. In fact, I think the studios are for art building.
Do a great many of the students come dance and enliven the boys' place?
Well, in our freshman class, I think there were at least 5 who came when they were freshmen, girls. And then, of course, they didn't come back to Ursuline anymore after they went into the convent. I think they went in the half year. Of course, a lot of them are principals of schools now. But of course, we didn't have any boys in that class, so we didn't have any priests. But we did have quite a few sisters just from the freshman class. That's the only one I can remember.
Do you know of any of the nuns that taught you that are still living?
Quite a few are still living. You mean at Ursuline? That were there when I was a student?
Yes.
Yes. Now, one especially is a very dear friend of mine. She is Sister Kathleen Kelly. And she taught typing and shorthand up there. And she now is down at the Society for the Propagation of the Faith. At one time, a few years back, she was Assistant Mother General. And she has an older sister who is still in the convent. She isn't well now, but I had her up at Ursuline. And Sister Winifred is in the infirmary too, but she was there. She was a beautiful English teacher. Sister Blanche is still, I think she's retired now, but she was there. In fact, they're quite a few rounds, yeah. In fact, that Father Connery, who was the first principal, is still living. I haven't seen him for a long time, but the day we went over to Kent to the scholarship contest, we did have lunch with him. And of course, we were all a little worried because we were all going to figure out who was going to pay the bill. We all wanted to treat him, but it turned out that he paid it himself, so we didn't have to worry about that. I think there were just 4 or 5 of us at the table with him. But he spent the whole day with us at camp the day we went for the scholar contest.
Were you very close to your teachers?
Some of them, the younger ones. Oh, they were close enough. They knew everything about you. How they found it out, I don't know, but they knew you. And then, of course, the thing was, we'd move along right with them. What we'd have one sister for in the freshman class, we have her for something else in the sophomores. So they just kind of changed around different classes. But we knew them all real well. I'd say. And they knew us. They knew your capabilities, that's for sure.
What colleagues of yours are still around that I'm supposed to know?
You mean my classmates?
Yes.
What they're doing now. Well, there was one, and I think she'd been working for the water company since she got out of high school, and she's still there. Grace Barnes. And I see a few of the church occasionally who are married and still live around here. Quite a few of them are dead. In fact, one of our graduates died not more than 6 months after we got out of high school. She went in training and she got scarlet fever from one of the patients and died. It was heartbreaking because she was a close friend, sweet little girl. And then several died within the last 5 or 6 years. One of them is the head of the dietary department at St. Elizabeth's, Sister Frances Claire. She was Catherine Foreman. And she's been there for quite a few years too in their dietary department. And Sister Celine, who was a guidance counselor at Ursula, was a freshman with me. But she's one of the ones who went in the convent. But she's still there. I saw her last week. And Sister Jerome, you know who she is.
I've heard of her.
She was a greater soul back of me. But she does a lot of wonderful things in this diocese for the poor.
What would you say most of the students did, jobs after they left high school?
I think quite a few of them did office work. But there were several who taught. I taught school. I don't know any other teachers. Well, we also had quite a few nurses. Yeah, another girl, Anna Mae Keenan, was a school teacher too, because we went to the teacher's college together. I think it's the rule most of them worked a few years and then got married, just like I did. Had a family. And then Cardinal Mooney became the alma mater. That was yours to do it as you please. It took us a half hour to eat, and for a whole hour we could do anything we wanted to do.
Yeah, I think they were very strict.
Oh, they were strict enough as far as morality was concerned. But other than that, they didn't bother you at lunch, and you could do what you pleased, or even in the classes. But I imagine if you were caught skipping a great many classes, there'd be a lot of punishment for a good lecture anyway. But they really didn't do too much of that. Once in a while, you'd find somebody that left. I was also the one that did. I got a few friends, and we'd take off, pretend we were sick, and then we'd have to take you home. And we'd go downtown and go to the old hippodrome, which was fun. That would be before your time. They had stages down there. And we'd manage to leave school right after lunchtime, and they were awful sick, and you were afraid to go home by yourself. So then you'd have to go down to the office and ask if you could have somebody take you home. Then we'd go downtown and go to the show.
Did they do anything if they found out that you weren't really?
They never found out. It's funny they didn't, because everybody knew what you were doing. But they really never said anything. And a couple of times I didn't go to school. I stay there by the phone until the principal called. And I tell her she was sick, and then the day was finished. I was told her I was Monday.
If somebody was truant from school, did they send anybody out?
No. No, they just assumed they were sick. They were very trusting souls. They figured if those girls were good enough, and they considered Ursuline High School the epitome of everything right at that time. And some girls didn't do stuff like that. You had to be quiet on the buses, not that we were. But we got plenty of issues about not making noise on the bus or disrupting things. I'm going to take that same bus that came down Wick Avenue, and by the time those kids got on, there wasn't room to squeeze a dime in there with all the other passengers. And of course, we had to go downtown and change. and go your separate ways, but you got to transfer with your school teacher. And they were free. Of course, when I first started Ursula, and they had the tracks, but they didn't have the bridge up over Wick Avenue. And many times we were late because the bus would come, and just at the time the bus came, a freight train would come. And of course, it would take so long for the freight that you'd be late for school. But I think after the first year I went to the bridge up, there weren't any more excuses to be late.
What kind of classwork did you do? Was it mostly tests, or did you write papers?
Oh no, we had lectures and we wrote papers and compositions, and they kept you right to work. Of course, we had a lot of lectures in chemistry. I think 3 days a week we had lectures, 2 days we gave experiments. And I think those lasted maybe 2 hours. You didn't rush through a chemistry. You took a good old time about it. We had a beautiful chemistry lab up there. And of course, the lecture room, you know, had the elevated seats. So for 3 days a week, there were lectures. And then ask questions about the lecture and had to answer those. And then to read your chemistry book and know all the information that was in that too.
Was the library very extensive when you went there?
Oh, I wouldn't say it was. They had a lot of good books in there. They're probably old. But I can't say that we really did much in the library. Most of the time, if you wanted a book, went down to the main library and got it. We did have a librarian. I think most people have encyclopedias and things at home that you need, and that's mainly what they had right in, during those years, was encyclopedias. So I didn't spend much time in there. Oh yes, we always decorated, and we always had a little Christmas party, mostly for the whole class together instead of having each room like they do now. In the following time, we had a Halloween party in the auditorium, and that was for the whole school. And as I said, we had car parties, different classes would have them, and that would be for the public. And we'd always, they'd play cards, have prizes, have a nice little lunch for them. And I suppose the proceeds would go to the high school or the Cardinal, or we don't know. But we always had a card party at least once a year. In those days, people played a great deal of cards.
Did you have to go to Mass, or was it optional?
We had a Mass 1 day a week, I think, in the auditorium for all people. And then we would go to Mass and then our breakfast, and I think maybe even on the first Friday, I can't remember so far back. But I know we had Masses occasionally in the auditorium. Of course, it wasn't as big as the auditorium they have now, but it was plenty big enough for the pupils we had. I think so. I think it was quite a struggle, because I certainly don't think that any 1 month's tuition from any child keeps a school going, even today with the price of everything, this fuel especially. But I think they had some rough years ahead, but I think when we went, I think that was the highest tuition they were able to get from the people with the circumstances. But of course, another thing, a lot of people went there, and they would go to school for 4 years and graduate and never pay a dime tuition. They were always going to pay and never did, and I think they lost a lot of money. But I think finally, after a few years, they finally made up their mind that you couldn't get out of there with extra tuition being paid, which was right, because quite a few had done it. So I know that when I left there, your tuition and your fees and everything had to be paid before you left, which was a good thing. Because I think it was a struggle. It was no joke trying to keep a school going, depression days. Truthfully, I think they have the same problem right now. If you get a little bit of help, it wouldn't be so bad, but it's been really rough. Even with the tuition rates that they are. You know, I heard that even 15 years ago, the heating bill alone to run Ursula High School was just exorbitant. It was something that you'd never believe. And I wouldn't, because I had never heard it. But I just happened to have a friend who knew. And I had no idea until then that their bills were so high. Of course, now, you know, the teachers have to have the the salary, they demand them, and they have to pay them. In those days, we had no lay teachers, and it was just a struggle, I suppose, for the poor sister.
Do you think they were forced to economize a great deal?
Oh, I think so. Of course, at that time, we had a few girls who wanted to go there, and they worked their way through school. They came in the morning, they dusted and cleaned up the rooms, you know, swept the floors after school, they washed the blackboards, and just really did janitor's work to pay for their tuition. I suppose that would include their books, too. But I know there were two or three that did that each year that I was there. But their desire to go was so great that they didn't want to keep them out, and that's the way they got through there. If you guys went to Ursuline High School in those early years, you were considered a plutocrat. I was the only one in the graduating class in St. Dominic's that went to Ursuline.
Did the girls come from all over the area?
Oh, yes. I was the only one from St. Dominic's. There were quite a few from St. Patrick's. But they came from Hubbard, Jard, Niles, all over. And they didn't mind that trek on the bus at all. Those girls that came from Gerard had to leave so early in the morning to get down there, but they came on that city bus anyway. From Hubbard, they had a lot of friends from Hubbard. East Side, West Side, they all went, came from all sides of town. So in other words, you acquire a great many good friends from all parts of town. And then I renewed acquaintances with a lot of girls I had known before then came to Ursuline. So it was really interesting. I think you almost need it to write down all you think about the school. We thought it was one of the best places we ever went to. We didn't just consider it school. In fact, we felt bad we left there. But you have to leave. We missed the teacher, I know. But we need to develop a friendship like that. And I see some of these sisters now in all these years, and I still feel as friendly to them as I did right then when I went to school. You just don't lose that friendship over the years.
Do you think they were more dedicated than they are now?
Oh, I think so. That was their life, teaching. And they had no other object but to teach. Now, they're allowed to go out, they're allowed to go places and do things. But in those days, the sisters didn't. They taught school, they went home, that was their day. That was different. But now, you know, they do. They go places, they go socialize a lot more. And they drive cars, they're allowed to get out and visit a little. But those things were unheard of when I went up there. Those sisters even walked up from that common every day, too. They didn't get a ride. They walked, and they walked home. Because I know lots of nights we'd walk down some of them and carry their books down for them. That was a long, cold hike from Bain Avenue all the way up to Ursuline. But they walked.
I'll take a walk, too.
Was religion strongly emphasized since you were going to a Catholic school?
Not really, no more so than it is now. We had our religion classes, but I think only 3 days a week. But you would be there. And of course, then in the upper classes, we had Father Conry for instruction. And rather than just having out of a book, he lectured, you know. And you did learn a lot from him. But just questions and answers about religion we didn't have. You read out of the book, but it wasn't the catechism type like they had in the grade school. But it was a must. You had to have those religion credits along with everything else, except for the non-Catholics who went there.
Were there a lot of non-Catholics?
We had quite a few non-Catholics, and they went simply because they figured it was the best school. And they did go there, but they weren't obliged to attend religion class. Senior, we had just a wonderful teacher who had been teaching in several of the grades that I was in grade school, but she had been at the high school several years. And we made a new song for our graduation. It was called "It's Our Dear Old High School," and we put it to a melody that was popular at the time. So Several years later, when my youngest brother went there, he was also a junior, and they had to write a poem for one of their English assignments. So I thought, well, I'm going to play a little joke on him, because I was always making book reports and stuff for him. So I wrote the poem word for word the way we had it for our senior music. So he took it to school, and she called the same teacher, and he got up and read it. She said, I think I have heard that before. He came home from school and he was furious. I said, well, that'll have to teach you to do your own homework from now on. But it was very pretty. I knew she'd recognize it right away. And I did it just really as a little joke. But she has died since then. She was at Mooney for a while too. But she's been dead now 10 to 15 years, I guess. She must have been there for 3 years while I was at her son. And she used to say, either you know a thing and you know that you know it, or you don't know it and you know that you don't know it. And I don't think I have ever forgotten those words. She was the one who taught us algebra too. And believe me, she always repeated that day after day, and I don't think I've ever forgotten it. She was the one who taught the classes when all the freshmen flunked. And she would say that to us at least once a week. Either you know that you know it, or you don't, you know that you don't know it.
Was there a great amount of competition between the girls?
No, not really. There were a few who were kind of fuddy-duddies. And you know how girls will, well, let me see your homework, let me see this, you know. Everybody was passing them back and forth all the time. And there were a few who wouldn't even let you look over their shoulder. I mean, they'd never let you look at anything that they had. And we just got to the point where we just didn't bother with them. You knew in the class who you liked and who would do you a favor. And the rest you simply didn't bother with, that's all, except to speak to them. A few of them were in the convent today. But they were always teacher's pets. There were quite a few of those, too. You know, they butter them up. And, of course, they were the ones that always had the assignment right on time, always perfect. But, of course, I wasn't always like that. Maybe it's the time I didn't have an assignment just for no particular reason. So they come to the one in front of me, and then they come to me, and she just say, next, she knew I wouldn't have it. But I finally got a couple of teachers who didn't clam down so hard, and I wouldn't have missed my homework for anything after that. So they were just so wonderful that you just wouldn't miss. And I had fabulous marks in the things, too, when I found out that they just wouldn't have teacher's pet, you know, that they would pick a special one. I found out I did much better work because I just didn't care before that. If I had a line, if I didn't, I didn't care. But when I got some that didn't have teacher's pets, I really would work my head off for them. And I did.
Do you think a lot of teachers had what they call teacher's pets?
Oh, I think a few, not all. Some of them were so sweet. They just loved everybody in the whole class. But I think few had particular favorites that they thought would be the best for everything. I think it works that way at all times. I've seen it over the years myself, you know.
Was there a lot of intermingling between the classes since school was so small?
Oh, yes. Every class mingled with the one, even freshmen and seniors together. Now, I didn't notice it so much when I was a freshman, because I think you're a little timid when you go into a new school. But right away, they elected representatives from the freshman class to the athletic. Didn't elect them, they picked them. And I think the teacher must have just looked around the room and she said, I'm a representative. So I went into the first meeting that they had of the athletic association, and I was elected secretary for the freshman class. And the gym teacher said, you take the minutes, and I had no idea what she meant by the minutes. I wouldn't have known what the minutes were. Some of the seniors, I knew a few of them, and one of them came over and showed me how to take the minutes. But they were all very helpful. And of course, we all had lunch with them, and then I got to know the seniors just as well as the freshmen.
Thank you. Did you have class officers?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We elected those at the beginning of every year. And then, of course, they elected officers in the Athletic Association. That was the only thing that we did have, that had two freshmen, two sophomores, two juniors, and two seniors, just to take care of the athletic events. Really, I can't remember that we did much at the meetings, but you just had a meeting once or twice over a month, I guess.
Was there a student council?
No. No. That was before the days of student councils. We didn't really have enough pupils, I guess. If you had beef, you went and talked it out. You know, you didn't have to have a representative to represent you. If we had something to talk about, you just had time to go to the teacher and talk it over with him, that's all.
Do you think the students had any influence at all on the teachers?
I don't particularly remember having too many things to talk over. We all got along pretty well. We never really had any trouble. What they told us was law. And we never questioned it at all. That was authority. And I suppose that even in the days of home, if you were told to do something or not to do something, you didn't do it. You didn't say, well, I'd like to. Oh, no, that didn't go. If we were told you couldn't do something, you didn't even question that. And it was the same way in high school. If they told you to do something, that's fine, you did it. And if they said that something was out of bounds, then we just took that as a matter of fact that that was out of bounds. I don't think we ever disputed them. There were rules, and we abided by them.
Was there a great deal of pride attached?
Well, very much. Very much. We were delighted with the school. As I said, we figured we were the best people in the city because we went to our school. It was a beautiful, beautiful school. But I think that was just because you had that put into you for so many years before you go to high school, that our summer school is a school to go to. It's a Catholic high school, and that's the school. And I have found out over the later years that if you are applying for a job, you do have a preference from the Catholic high school. They seem to give them more preference than they do some other.
Did you ever have any contact with the other high schools in the area?
No, none. You went to their football games, or you know the kid who went there, you know. But other than that, that's all we ever did. We met some of them when we went to the scholarship contest. As I say, we had no clubs. They had a Latin club, and they had a German club, and they had a band, which wasn't too good. Other than that, we didn't really have anything, not like they do today. Because of the fact that they had admitted these for the first time. Now, why they had the boys, I don't know. Whether that they did it because of the money situation or whether they were asked to have them, I think they were. But the bishop had asked them to admit the boys. But they had quite a few boys that first year. As a matter of fact, some of those boys looked like our little brothers, and they'd insist on carrying our books downtown. And I can even remember a couple of them coming up to my house. They wanted to take me out. And here they are, 14, and I was going on 18. But they were really cute little boys. But I thought because you were friendly with them, it was all right to take you out.
Do you know who the first boy graduate was?
Well, the first boy who was a senior was John George O'Brien. And he actually was supposed to be graduated the same year I was in 1931. But I think he needed a few credits. He had transferred from South because of the fact they admitted boys. And he was quite a football player. And I think he needed a couple of credits. So instead of leaving, he was going to do a little postgraduate work.
Mary.
Yes. Supposed to graduate, but on account of, due to the fact that there were no other boys, he was not in the picture. And there was another boy who also transferred from South, Frank Avenon. But I think he was a junior when he came. But he played on the football team. with freshmen and sophomores. But George O'Brien stayed there to do a little graduate work because he wanted to play on the team. He turned out to be a lieutenant colonel in the Army, but he's out someplace around New Mexico or Arizona. We were quite good friends. We graduated from grade school together. And Frank Cavanaugh died last year. He was a fireman all those years. He lived right down the next block. I would never have traded my 4 years at Ursuline for any other school in town. It was a wonderful experience, a wonderful 4 years. And the memories connected with it are something you can always have. Nobody can take those away from you. I see quite a few of the people, not all classmates, but from the other grades. I see them pretty often. But I thought there was no school in Youngstown like Ursuline. My brother went there and graduated from there. My son went there for a while. But my daughters all graduated from Mooney since we were on this side of town.